Okay, well, here at church each week we open the Bible and we work systematically through it because we believe this is God's word and we want to hear what he has to say to us and we want to listen to, trust and obey him. What we're reading today is the fourth section of the longest chapter of the Bible. Psalm 119 goes on forever and ever and ever, and you might be glad we didn't read the whole thing because it would have taken a while. But there's something else interesting about it, and that is it's an alphabetic acrostic poem. Can anyone tell me what they think that might be? What's an alphabetic acrostic poem? They're in alphabetical order, yep. So, an acrostic poem is when, you might have done that at school, kids. An acrostic poem is when you make a poem out of the letters of a word. So my name's Ben. And I can tell you an acrostic poem. Ben is great. Everybody loves him. Nobody can deny it. Ben. Right? There's an acrostic poem for my name. Now, you can make an acrostic poem for your name. You can make an acrostic poem for all sorts of things. But the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119 had something he was so excited about, he wanted to do the A to Z of it. Okay? He wanted to do to the A to Z. And so this poem has the Aleph to the Omega. The Aleph, what's the last? I'm forgetting my Hebrew letters of the alphabet. It starts at Aleph and it goes all the way through right at the end to Tau. And you can see, if you've got the Bible there, all the funny little scribbles which are the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. There's 22 of them, not 26. And there's 8 verses per letter. And each verse is about how wonderful God's law is, God's word is, God's message to us is. And so the psalmist wanted to write to you the A to Z about how wonderful God's word is. And that is this poem, an alphabetic acrostic on the word of God. And this is our fourth week of looking at it because it's so long as a church. And so we're looking today at this section from 113 to 144 verses. So its big theme is delighting in and living by the word of God. But one of the things that the psalmist reflects on through this section is how upset he is when God's word is dishonoured. And so that's one of the things that we're going to reflect on today. As the psalmist looks around at his world, he sees people ignoring God's word. And he even in verse 136 says, "Streams of tears are flowing from my eyes." And this is the concept if you have a brother or a sister and you see them being wronged and hurt in the playground and you feel upset for their honour. Well, the psalmist is saying, I love God and his word, and I feel upset for his honour when people ignore and reject him, when people mock him and scorn him. And so the psalmist at this point is brought to tears as he looks around and sees a world that ignores and rejects God. I wonder what your response to God and his word is. And perhaps as you look around you, how do you feel about people who are antagonistic to God and his word? Or perhaps just apathetic? Or maybe you even stand in one of those two categories. That's fine. You're welcome here. We're really glad to have you. And I hope that I can find some challenge or encouragement from this psalm to let you see just how wonderful the word of God is. Well, the psalmist is certainly pleased with God's word. In verse 129 we read, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them." And we find in the psalmist a very different attitude to the law, as he describes God's word, than we might have to the law of our land today. We begrudgingly accept that we ought to do it, and hopefully it all fits in with our agenda most of the time. But we don't really delight in the fact that we have to go 60 on the highway, on the road, when we really want to get somewhere fast. We do it because we know it's right. But the psalmist is able to see that the word of God is not some arbitrary rules imposed on him that he has to obey, but is in fact a joyful delight because God knows the best way for him to live. And so to live God's way is going to help him get the most out of life. And so he delights in it. The unfolding of your word gives light, he says in verse 130. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, I remember when my kids were little, we made every effort to make their bedrooms as dark as possible in the morning in a vain attempt to get a sleep in. We bought blockout curtains, and when we lived in Newtown, I even cardboarded up one of the windows in our kids' bedroom, and I stood there in the middle of the day. You know how impossible it is to stop sunlight coming into a room? So hard. The Word of God is the light, like the sun shining into our lives, that helps us see and understand the world around us properly. Because God made the world, he understands it, and he knows how we ought to live in it. His word is like light that we ought to treasure and rejoice in. In verse 105 that we skipped over last week, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." The word of God brings clarity to this world to help us see it rightly. And it's not just for the experts, it's for the simple. It's for everyone to understand. It's for Willow. Sure, she doesn't understand much of it yet. But as Greg and Claire read to her the word, they don't wait for her to go to school for that. But she can, in her own way, understand the world and see the light of the word of God to understand it by. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. The psalmist has a great passion for God's word. He says, I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands, in verse 131. It's like a dog who's been running around all day and is desperate for a drink. In verse 132, he says, "Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name." The word of God is like light that brings understanding. It helps us to see properly what's going on in the world and how to walk God's way. But it's actually far more than that, because the psalmist asks not just that it helps him to see properly, but also that God's word would enable and strengthen him to live, that God would have mercy on him. God's word doesn't just light up my path and show me how to live. The word of God gives me life itself. It's an expression of mercy and life to me. One of the big themes throughout this great long poem is the psalmist calling on the Lord to preserve his life. At least a dozen times, "Preserve my life, Lord, according to your word." In verse 122, he says, "Ensure your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees." He prays that God would ensure his well-being, that he'll keep him safe, make sure he's okay, that God will give a pledge and a promise, and his eyes fail. He's looking for God's certainty in his life, looking for his promise, straining. And the promise he's anticipating is a promise that we have securely and surely in Jesus Christ. The psalmist wanted assurance and security that God loved him, was for him, and would preserve his life. And that security and assurance God has given in Jesus Christ, who has come in love and entered our world and died on the cross to save us from the consequences of our sin, so that we stand righteous before God as we trust in Christ. And so we have complete confidence and assurance, as the psalmist hoped and longed for, that we are loved by God, forgiven by him, and assured of our eternal life in him. That's what this prayer of the psalmist is looking forward to, as he longs for that pledge and security from God. We have seen it. As the psalmist's eyes fail, straining to see it, we can know it in Jesus Christ, and look forward to and anticipate its fulfillment in the new heavens and earth to come. So we rejoice in God's word, Not just because it gives understanding, is light to see by, but also because it brings life. Because God in his word has sent Jesus Christ to bring us forgiveness and eternal life. But not everyone will respond to Christ appropriately. In fact, as the psalmist looks around, he sees the word brings light to life. It also brings life. But he looks around and sees that not everyone is responding. In verse 118 and 119, he says, "You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross." And these are strong words of judgment. All who stray from God's word, from his decrees. They might be outright rejecting God and be outspoken against Jesus. Or on the other hand, they might just be apathetic and just swept along by the busyness of life and work and family and forgotten all about it. Either way, it says here that God rejects them. He sees them as wicked and discards them like dross. These are strong and harsh words. How do we react to God judging unbelievers? It's a difficult concept to swallow, really, that God might send some people to hell. For the psalmist, the judgment of unbelievers leads to two things. It leads to a love of God's word because he sees that it's good for justice to be done, but it also leads to trembling and fear. In the second half of verse 119, he responds to judgment by a love of God's statutes. Ultimately, it is a good thing for justice to be done. On a weekend where we've elected a new government, we ought to pray for their establishment and their wisdom and that justice be done by our government in our society. And we want, while we might disagree perhaps about what decisions they should make and who should perhaps be in power, we want them to exercise authority justly and rightly. We want the courts of our land to exercise justice and to not just let people get away with things. Otherwise, the world might, or the nation might, descend into chaos. And in the same way, we have a God who loves justice, who doesn't just allow people to get away with everything. But it's difficult because the consequences of his justice are permanent. We can look at really wicked people and say, yes, I'm glad justice is going to be done. But it gets a lot more difficult when we reflect on our own lives or that of our friends and our family. And none of us stand completely innocent before God. We don't rejoice in other people being judged, and we never should. But we rejoice with the psalmist in justice, in righteousness, in God's word being honoured and triumphant. On the flip side, in verse 120, we read the psalmist reflecting, "My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws." Along with rejoicing in God's statutes comes a trembling fear of God and his word. The psalmist knows that he's not innocent himself, and he rightly trembles before a just God. But by the grace of God, he doesn't fear. And there's a real comfort in knowing God's love. Well, we should never stand arrogant, looking over others and thinking we're better than them. The word of God declares to us that all of us ought to tremble before him. But that necessarily does not lead to fear. Because if we come to him in trust and in faith, we have full assurance through Jesus Christ of our forgiveness. Only by the grace of God can we find our identity and contentment in Jesus Christ and freedom and comfort in the midst of the justice of God and his word. And so the psalmist calls out in verse 135, "May your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees." So as the psalmist basks in the light of the word of God, as the word of God lights up his path and he walks in the way of it and it brings him life, he looks around at the world around him and he weeps. In verse 136, he weeps and he weeps and he weeps, and streams of tears flow from his eyes. And these are not tears of pain because he's suffering. He's crying because he sees God not being honoured, his word, his law not being obeyed. Now, I long for people to know and find salvation in Jesus Christ. I long for it for their sake, for your sake perhaps, as you're someone here. Because the joy and forgiveness and hope that you can have in Jesus Christ is the most wonderful blessing. Salvation from judgment and eternal life in him is a beautiful thing. And so I'm motivated to love and share the gospel to people for their sake. But the psalmist here shows an even bigger motive. He longs not just for the salvation of others for their own sake, but that God might be honoured in their salvation. Because as they come to know his love and forgiveness and the goodness and light of his word, then God is honoured in their salvation. See, as I'm motivated for the salvation of others and to share my faith with them, there's a personal motivation because I care about the people around me. But if I'm motivated for God's honour and glory, then there's a bigger picture at work, which will mean I'm motivated to support our linked missionaries in Tanzania who are seeking to bring the gospel to people who I've never met and probably never will, to our Compassion Sponsor Children in the Philippines. I'll long that all people, even those who I don't know, will come to know Christ as Saviour and Lord, because I want his name to be honoured and to be glorified. And that's how the psalmist feels here, as he boldly calls God to action. It's time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. And so, as we draw to a conclusion this reflection on the psalm, we see the psalmist delighting in the word of God because it brings light that we can see our world rightly. It brings life through Jesus Christ. But we also long, or I call you to long with the psalmist, to delight in the word of God and to long for God to be honoured in the lives of others. And so we share this word of God with them in the hope that they might see and know the truth of God's word and respond to him in faith. Let me lead us in prayer. Lord, we praise you so much for your word and pray that we might honour it ourselves and call others to do the same. We thank you that it's not a dry and distant abstract word, but something that is relevant to us to help us see the world rightly and live well and walk well in this world. Lord, be with each one here today. Most especially be with Greg and Claire and Willow, as each person considers your word and how they might respond to it. Give each person wisdom and be at work by your Holy Spirit to bring many here to faith in Christ, to find the joy and hope of salvation, and for the honour of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.